Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to Getting Savvy in Health, Wealth, and Beauty. Important to note that everything is for entertainment purposes only. Please do speak and meet with a financial advisor before making any investment decisions. And also, please meet and speak with your GP before making any health or beauty decisions.
Okay, Melissa, here we are. We're always in different spots. But the first thing I said to you, I'm like, your top is so pretty. It's like a violet, a light purple.
Yeah, it's kind of like a bluey purple. I'm very into like lavenders and purples right
now.
Are
you?
Yes.
Right now. Because normally it's hot pink.
It's spring. Normally I'm not, but I've been going there with like my nails and I wore this like nice like lilac-y, or I don't know, it was like more lavender blazer last night when I went out. This is a great top. I got it on sale like years ago, like 5 years ago. It's Alexander Wang and it's cute. I wear it all the time.
Wow. So it's so funny because, you know, people have been listening, whatever. We've talked a lot about Revolve, the stock. And then of course you and I went into the Revolve store when we were in Aspen and you encouraged me to buy two skirts there. I wear them all the time.
See?
Their stuff is just curated so well and things you wouldn't normally find in a regular store. This was like they're a pop-up store originally, but it is going to be, you know, a permanent store now. And it just helps someone like me to see some things, but then you can go online and take a look at that designer again.
Yeah. And even like on the Revolve, they have like certain shops and you can type in exactly what you're looking for. And yeah, it's easy. As long as you get like, you just have to get comfortable doing the returns, knowing the, how to do the returns. Yeah. That's the thing that people shy away from because you have to expect it's like any normal dressing room. When you try something on, you're going to only keep a couple of the items. So you have to get used to doing those returns.
Just while we're on it then, because one of my other friends bought some stuff at Revolve and she found the returning very difficult. It was annoying for her. So what's your masterful way to do this?
Practice. So you have to shop more.
Okay. Practice.
Everything.
Come on.
It's annoying. Anything's annoying when you learn how to do it for the first time. So it's actually, if you do it more, like it's pretty easy. You go on Revolve Returns. You type in your postal code, it pulls up your order, you print out the packing slip, you put it in a back in the, so this is the thing, you can put it back in the box or the bag it came in, unless they shipped it express. If they did, then UPS doesn't take that. So you just put it in a box, you put the thing on, and you drop it off.
Where do you drop it off?
So the closest UPS to me is
UPS.
A couple blocks away. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And you pay for the shipping, right?
Give you free shipping.
Free shipping.
Yeah. So you just hand, you just literally drop, deliver it, like give it to them.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's pretty easy. It, the first few times you do it, it's confusing, right? But if you do it moreover, like you just have a process and you just drop it off and no big deal.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That it's interesting too. And I ask who pays for the shipping because from a consumer perspective, it's obviously good, but from a company and owning the stock perspective, that's obviously one of their costs that they have to incur.
I don't know 100%. Like I feel like I'm not paying for the shipping because when I go to physically ship it, it just goes. Mm-hmm. I don't
think
whether they're including a cost for that, probably that it's just hidden.
Right.
Like there's so many marketing things that are hidden that I'm sure they do where the customer doesn't feel like they're paying for it, but in some way they are. I'm sure it's, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What's on your, I mean, there's a lot to talk about in the market and also there's a retail stock we're going to talk about as well, but what's on your docket this week?
So this week was so busy with the election here in Canada and with the Leafs and the playoffs, there was just a lot going on in the news. So health wise, I feel like there wasn't that many stories that caught my attention. Obviously, people are still talking about measles. It's still a problem, a growing problem. So I think we should touch base on that again. Also talking about the merger or the, I don't know what you want to call it, on Hims and Hers stock. And how they decide to sort of join forces rather than competing against each other. They thought like they joined forces now. So for Hims and Hers is going to be offering brand name Wegovy and Ozempic through their site at a discounted price. So that's interesting. Study I saw on early colon cancer and acne vaccine.
What vaccine?
Acne.
Acne?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's why don't we start? Well, okay, let's from a market perspective, obviously we're going to touch on the markets, which, you know, I think everybody's been aware that they have been under such significant pressure from the beginning of April to about mid-April. And then we've seen a huge rally over the past 8 to 9 trading days on the hopes of you know, some type of trade deal or easing tensions between the United States and China, even though that was so debated. So that also earnings, we've heard a lot from, you know, we talk about this, how important earnings are, because it's a time where the company reports what they've just, you know, what they've just done for the previous quarter from a sales and profit perspective. And then they also give their outlook and the stocks move on that. So it was a big week of earnings. We'll talk a little bit about that and some company specific stories on the back of earnings like Aritzia. So just to, you know, a few things in the market, but I think too, you know, with the Canadian elections this week, there's just been a lot of focus, you know, on what those economic policies will be. You know, and then it's earnings. So that's kind of it in the markets for me.
So, I mean, I know we don't get too political on the podcast, but I'm just,
yeah,
some of the things I've heard, because, you know, as a doctor, I get lots of people coming in and talking to me, and also at my daughter's, you know, like at extracurricular events, you talk to some of the moms and you just hear all these people's perspectives. And I always just take note of some of the things that are said to me. So a few interesting things that have been said to me are, one, trade in all your Canadian money for gold bars is one interesting thing that was said to me. And a second interesting thing that was said to me was, Carney is often the smartest guy in the room. So don't be so bearish, and he's very smart. And they're two obviously conflicting views.
Yeah.
On the one, it's like, oh no, Carney's coming into power, sell Canada, and what does this mean? And are we going to be taxed? And then another view, obviously for people that are pro him, is super smart guy and maybe some good policies coming. So I don't know. It's very confusing to know what to do, but have you been hearing similar sentiments? Or,
well, you know, it's interesting.
And what does that mean? Someone says trade in your Canadian money for gold bars. Why would they say something like that?
Well, so that's interesting to me. And I think it's a couple of reasons. One, you know, gold has always been used as a store of value. Mm-hmm. And even though it's difficult to transport, you can. You know, you can store it, you can move it somewhere, you can buy it somewhere. And then, you know, supposedly it can't be devalued, right? By monetary policy, by federal policy. It is supposed to operate essentially on its own. It's not a currency that can be moved up and down by the policies that hurt a country, right? We have to remember, right? When Harper was in power, our dollar was at par. It was actually above the United States dollar, truly. And the currency.
When was Harper in power?
When the dollar was above par, it was around 2012, 2013. Okay. And the reason why I remember that is because my mom and I bought a condo in Florida and we converted the money above par. So the United States had just come out of their financial crisis. And so my mom and I were able to get a condo at, you know, a fraction of the price, and we were able to convert the Canadian dollar to US dollars above par. So it was a huge win, huge win. Yeah. But getting back to the point, is, you know, currencies reflect what is going on in the country. So when you have some of the South African countries that, South American countries that have very, very high inflation, their currencies often are very weak because there's obviously a problem within their country. So for Canada, over the past, you know, 10 years, Trudeau's policies have really hurt the Canadian dollar twofold. One is because they didn't want any pipelines to be built. So all that foreign money left Canada, didn't develop in Canada. And we've had essentially no growth for 10 years. So if there's no growth, why does anybody want to put money into the country to invest it? And therefore the dollar would go up just because the value of what we're creating here goes up. I mean, there's more to it, but that's essentially it.
But that's essentially,
yeah. And then because we had no growth and so much spending, That caused inflation. And we just put, you know, good money after bad money, which is also recognized. And then the dollar also takes a hit on the back of that. There's so many different aspects to it, but it basically does reflect the country's current situation and then prospects. And think about this, the US dollar over the past week or so has hit a 3-year low. Why? Because people are concerned about what's going on in the United States as it relates to tariffs and that whole sell America trade, which either is going to be wrong or it's a great time to buy US dollars. What do you really believe in not getting caught up in the noise? You know, and I'm still a big believer in buy America. So, yeah. But back to the gold bars, I've been thinking about it myself.
Where do you put them?
I don't know. I'm going to have to, I know people who do this, like who've been doing this for years. So I'm going to do a little digging.
Yeah. No pun intended.
I do not do puns, but I think it, and you know what? It's, people always say it's a good diversifier. Mind you, you always like to quote Warren Buffett. He does not buy gold.
No.
He does not buy gold bars because you do have to store it, which costs money. Is it easily transferable to buy a cup of coffee? No. Right? Which is why. But we don't know. We do not
know. Although you never know. What's that? We give you cash for your gold, you know?
Yes, exactly. So, yeah.
It's interesting about Buffett because, you know, I was reading this. I always get all these little factoids about him. But this new thing that's been circulating on Instagram, it talks about how he's quoted saying that he drinks 5 Coca-Colas per day. 5. Okay. Mm-hmm. Not Diet Coke, regular Coke. So that's like 700 calories of pure sugar he drinks per day. And I was going to say, like, you know, I always trust his financial advice so much, but I don't trust his diet and health advice. Although, there you go. He's 94 years old. So obviously other factors are at play, you know. That's why it was just interesting because, well, and also it was relevant to me because he's a huge shareholder in Coke. Like I think they 10% or at one point did. So does he love Coke so much? Did he buy that stock because he just thinks this is the best product in the world, given how he consumes it? Or does he consume it because he's a big shareholder? You know, it's both.
And it's probably he's done the analysis and believes that they have the brand and, product. Dominates the market, great product, great cash flow, great management, all those things that, you know, you check the box if you, you want to buy a stock. His style, that's his style of investing, among many other things.
Diabetes.
Pardon?
I wonder if he has diabetes.
I don't know.
I mean, but think that much Coke in a day, like that much sugar, I would think he'd be at risk for diabetes.
Okay, maybe. Let me tell you about.
I don't know, but
So years ago, when I was on the trading desk at one of the big banks, I was on the institutional side. So I really encouraged this one big portfolio manager to buy McDonald's stock. It was trading at like $15. Okay. It's in the hundreds now. Nobody wanted it because everybody thought no one's going to eat junk food anymore. This is like 2005. Okay. And I thought, no. I personally do love McDonald's, the food. And, so anyway, this client said to me, goes, you know, you would never eat McDonald's. And I said, yeah, I love it. And so, he was in a different state. So you always, you know, go and see your clients with analysts and everything. And I said, I'll take you out for lunch and we'll go to McDonald's. And normally you do like a big steak lunch or you'd be like fancy. Right. Okay. And so they were like, you can't take a client to McDonald's for lunch. I'm like, I can, and I will. And anyway, he bought the stock, but the reason why I'm telling you this is because I also wanted to pair it with a company called DaVita, which does the dialysis. It's like, like dialysis centers. So DaVita, you know, because it sounds awful, right? It sounds like, okay, eat the food and then go get your dialysis. But I do remember not long after that, I'm quite sure Warren Buffett had a position in DaVita.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard that being a good business.
Yeah. I don't know now, because there's a lot with the whatever the liquid treatment would be, that because you sit there and you get injections, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you have to sit there a long time getting your dialysis. Yeah.
Right. And so there years ago, there you had to really understand what the healthcare insurance companies would pay for and what they wouldn't pay for. And so when that got a bit more complicated, I kind of just stepped away from looking at that stock.
Yeah. Well, because I don't know if it's still the number one cause of kidney failure, but diabetes obviously, you know, can lead to kidney failure and lead to people needing dialysis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
okay. Yeah.
So wait, where were we?
Yeah, let's go back.
Gold bars. That was it. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
But don't forget too. That's why a lot of people have gotten into cryptocurrencies, because it's the one currency. It's a currency that politicians, governments, can't control, don't have access to, can't see what you're buying or not. Because remember, one of the big concerns out there is for any government, and Trump said he will not do this, is to have a digital currency, because a digital currency that the government controls or can oversee basically can say, oh, you know, you're drinking too much coffee, not allowed to do that.
What do you mean? I don't get it.
Well, a digital currency, you've got to, it's like anything. If it's digital, they can see what you're doing, right? You can see on your phone who you're calling. Instagram knows what we're watching, what we're forwarding.
But so not if it's like on the blockchain or offline. So,
correct. Yeah. Correct. I should be more clear. A centralized digital currency.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's critical.
I can't
follow. It's very confusing. And now with like David Sachs being in charge of the crypto for, you know, the US, they're trying to own a lot more cryptocurrency. The average person can't possibly understand what's going on and predict what's happening. But I think, like you said, it's just, do you believe in the growth in America? And if you do, then just keep with your investment plan and continue with, you know, an index fund.
Right. And if you do have concerns right now about the unknown and the uncertainty and what the policies will be, you know, people sell their stocks and they move to cash. And then the question is, and that's what's so interesting about your comments, people are like, okay, well, cash, do I want to hold Canadian dollars? Should I convert it into US? Should I convert it into gold bars? What should I do with it? Yeah. So those are all the questions out there right now. We don't have all the answers and nobody does. Like that's the point too, right? People have very different perspectives right now is what I'm really finding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I was thinking about it the other day, how like, you know, a lot of people are people that are in the financial services area or investment or, you know, they're very afraid right now, especially in Canada. But also I think for people in the US, like everybody's so afraid, thinking worst case scenarios. And it kind of reminded me of the doctors during COVID. I feel like the people in the financial world were like, COVID, what are these doctors?
True.
All these masks and the vaccine, it's going to be fine, right? Whereas now it flips around and a lot of doctors and, you know, people are looking at all these finance people being like, oh, it's going to be fine. Don't worry.
That's true.
You know, because you're in it. So it's like, it's where the perspective comes from. Most people that aren't in that world just don't understand and just believe in the future, that things are going to work out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I just thought it was an interesting parallel.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. While we're just kind of maybe on the markets a little bit, you know, I would just say that it's been a busy week for earnings. And I just want to mention that Aritzia just reported their most recent results. And your observations of the stores are spot on, right? Meaning in the brand.
Yes. Yeah, I know.
You do know.
I always confuse the two sayings, finger on the pulse or eye on the ball. So I say eye on the pulse, but it's finger. I got my finger on the pulse.
Finger on the pulse. So their sales and profit came in way above expectations. Their sales for the year, so year over year.
Mm-hmm.
So this year versus last year, it grew 31%. Their e-commerce grew 42%. For the their stock today is up 15%. Keep
Wow.
in mind though, the stock has been down by about 30% since January. So it definitely got caught up in concerns about the consumer, the economy, tariffs, etc. And so, you know, this is a, we'll see where the stock settles out, because there could be a lot of short interest in it, which is another topic we can talk about. But the company management did say that they are concerned about the outlook. They are expecting weaker margins, and margins just means your profit okay. margin, right? So how much are you making?
Your costs are going to go up. Yeah.
Your costs are going to go up. But a lot of companies are actually going to be passing those costs on to the consumer. But Aritzia apparently has said they're not going to pass along the full tariff costs to the consumer. They're going to eat some of it, and therefore that's why their costs are going to go up.
I think that's a smart business decision, because already when I went to Aritzia, I just went myself and I bought stuff for my daughter, but I also bought stuff for myself. And when I went to the checkout, because normally you think of Aritzia as like a mid, you know, not too luxury, you know, I was kind of, whoa, this is expensive, like more expensive than I was expecting. Like I bought a nice blazer, I bought a vest, I bought a pair of pants, like I bought clothes, not just like leggings and sweatshirt, you know, and it was expensive. And I think if it got more expensive, I would back away. From it. I think it would result in just less purchasing, or it would lose a segment of the people that are already shopping there. Actually, interestingly, so I went to Yorkdale this morning because my mom's in town and she needs to find a pair of shoes for a cocktail dress she has. So, and she literally tried on every single pair of shoes in Yorkdale. And
oh God.
Nothing. Like I was like, buy these. Okay. But anyhow, that's aside. So there was a huge, when we got there was a huge lineup at Aloe, like massive. And I was like, what's going on here? And it was a 30% off day. So I still think Aloe, you know, but these places are expensive. So people will line up if there's going to be a sale. Yeah.
Well, and so if you still are considering buying Aritzia, you know, the management, so management, when they report the quarter, and then as we've talked about, they give a conference call, and you know, when I worked in equity research, I would, you know, you listen to every conference call, and you listen to every single word they say for an indication in terms of what might happen. What do they really think? And you get to know management as well in terms of, are they being conservative? So Aritzia management on their call said they do expect a material decline in their comps. So same store sales. So sales per store is what that means. Mm-hmm. And then some of the analysts out there on the street are saying, well, we think this management team is on the conservative side.
Yeah, so, I like Aritzia. I love the clothes. I love the product, but I think it seems to be like going in the right direction and managed well from what I can tell or see.
And they seem to have just captured the right audience.
Yeah, it's in.
They seem to have a bit of a moat around their product offering. It's still like the stores are still interesting, because sometimes stores are not interesting. Mm-hmm. And the product continues to be refreshed and relevant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
it multiple groups. Like they get that teen tween. They do a really good job. And then they also get the working woman as well.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, which is brilliant. Like you can go in there and buy clothes for you and Rebecca.
Rebecca, which is what I find similar with a Lululemon. Right?
Right. Lululemon.
Buy for myself and I can buy for my daughter. The only difference is it's only athleisure, whereas you know, Aritzia is the athleisure, but then they also have the super puff, the jackets that are really popular. So then they also have the work clothes that are great. They have Babaton, that brand, which is amazing. But they're the best work clothes, the best pants, the best blazers, really cute stuff, and it looks fancy, like it looks expensive. So
if you are looking at the stock, I just want to mention to you valuation, but you are more of a growth oriented investor. I'm more value. So you tend to not mind paying up for a stock if you believe that the company is going to continue to grow and has a long trajectory and can grow into the multiple, grow into the valuation. So right now, Aritzia is trading at about 50 times earnings.
Okay.
The market's probably trading at about 20 times. So it's much more expensive. People are willing to pay up.
Right.
Potential growth.
Yeah.
So,
I still just indexes, and then I just go with the other ones based on gut.
Yeah.
What
well,
I like. Well,
yeah.
no, what I'm saying is I could study these PE ratios. It's not my, I'm not an analyst. And, you know, I still always go by what you know, what you understand, what you see, what you feel, as long as I'm not putting all my eggs in that basket.
Yes.
So
fair point. Fair point. Okay, let's talk about some of your items. I want to know about the acne vaccine because I had acne growing up and I hated it.
Exactly.
It's awful.
So there's a new, there's two different companies that have them. I think one is Sanofi right now that has a trial coming out in the next couple of years. It's still recruiting where they're going to give some of the patients with acne this vaccine, the other patients nothing, placebo, and then compare the results. So that isn't starting that trial for another year or two, but there's another one already further along that they've already found success in animal studies, but now they need, you know, more testing on humans. But what I find so interesting about this, I mean, yes, acne, I put it in the same category as these blockbuster weight loss drugs. Yes, we know they're great for diabetics and people with obesity, but what about those people who are 20 pounds overweight that just don't like how they look, who have really captured, you know, a part of that market for the weight loss drugs? I think with acne, it's a similar thing. Is this something that's going to kill you? No. But is there a huge percentage of the population that just is not happy with their appearance of their skin, who don't want to be on a systemic drug like Accutane that has some riskier side effects or stronger side effects? And if you can prevent with a vaccine the acne, I think there'd be a huge market for it. But again, and this will segue into vaccines in general. So people who, you know, all of a sudden, everybody's so against vaccines, but if there's a vaccine for acne, I'll take that, you know.
Melissa.
Suddenly, well, I just think they need to rebrand the word vaccines. I think they should get rid of the word vaccine completely and call it microdosing. So we're going to microdose some measles, okay? We're just going to give you a little bit. That's essentially what a vaccine is. It's just that vaccine has gotten such a negative connotation because of COVID that when people hear that word, they can be turned off. Unless it's something that's really important to them where they see the benefit. Like they don't want acne, they take a vaccine. Whereas people are like, do I really care about measles? Not so much. Although they should, because on a population basis, it's causing unnecessary mortality, illness, death, you know? So I just thought that was interesting. But I think that if that works, this acne vaccine, that will be huge. That will change so many teenagers.
Yeah, it's awful. Like it really is, doesn't feel good. I mean, that's an understatement. And
did you ever go acne?
I only had it more on my chin area.
Yeah.
But it was still not fun or great. But I do remember people in Accutane and there were significant side effects. Are they still using Accutane?
Yeah. Oh yeah. A lot. It's in a little bit lower doses now. And I think a bit better tolerated, but it causes a lot of dryness.
Right.
You know, and, but it works. So for a lot of people, like it is what we recommend, you know, usually with acne, you know, you start off like it's a progression, right? So you start off with just, you know, general good skincare. If that doesn't work, then there's topical. And usually the topical go against, like acne is a combination of oil and bacteria. Those are the two things that acne. So the topical treatments work on reducing oil, so drying the skin, and then antibacterial, reducing the bacteria. So if those topical treatments don't work, or if the skin gets too red and flaky and dry, then you go to some of the oral medications. The next oral medications you would go to are, sometimes we look at the birth control pill, because that's going to change the hormones, therefore could lead to less oil production in the skin. Or you can look at a drug called spironolactone that I'm seeing a lot more patients taking now that also is anti-androgenic, so it decreases that oil production. And then if all of that has failed, then you can go on to Accutane. And all the while, you can also be using things like lasers and these non, you know, medical avenues, but it's a lot. People spend a lot of money on their skin. Yeah.
I wonder though, Melissa, like it's interesting, you know, for people who get acne, like myself when I was younger, if I had, did I have more hormones or to create the oil or?
Probably. Yeah. Like it's hormonal, it's genetic. So okay. I'm thinking that, you know, one of your parents or somebody in your gene line probably had that. And you just tended towards more oily skin. Whether you, that means you had more androgens, like that's like when men go on steroids, like when men go on testosterone, one of the side effects is bad acne on their back.
Oh.
Yeah, because of the increased androgens.
Oh.
However, some people, even with normal levels, can just have oilier skin.
So I wonder then with this vaccine for acne. It's targeting the bacteria?
Yeah, that was my understanding. It's targeting the, the bacteria and I think the oil production. So it must be doing both. I don't know the exact science behind it, but yeah, lowering.
And so which company's doing this?
Sanofi has one, and I can't remember the company that's doing the other.
Okay.
But there's two right now.
Okay. And just to pick up on the measles vaccines, has it been spreading?
Yeah. So like we talked about this, I feel like we talked about measles on the podcast a couple months ago when it was a problem in Texas.
Yeah.
And we were talking about it more in the US, but it's also been spreading rapidly in Ontario. And I think they think the initial cases came from Manitoba and New Brunswick, traveled to Ontario and spread. And the last report I read, there was 31 patients hospitalized because of measles in Ontario. Of those 31, 30 are unvaccinated and one has unknown vaccination status. So my guess is probably unvaccinated and one is in ICU. So we just don't want to see. So I think a big problem is when they pulled the number of kids in Ontario in, I guess it would be grade one or two, like 7 years old, it was only a 70% vaccination rate. Okay. That's really low. So in other words, 7 out of 10 kids were fully vaccinated for measles. You need 95% to prevent it from becoming endemic again. Hmm. I think what happened was during COVID, a lot of the kids missed their doctor's appointments and a lot of people
took
their measles vaccine or didn't catch up and then didn't bother. And then maybe got turned off by the idea of more vaccines and I don't need the vaccine. So rates have really been going down. And like, I'll tell you an experience I had that I was upset about the other day. So my daughter had a doctor's appointment with her pediatrician, just a general checkup. Typically you want to go to the pediatrician like once a year for a general checkup. And it's been longer than that. It's been a while. And so she has an appointment for next week. And she got a small part in a movie that shoots in Hamilton. So so I had to cancel. So I called her and said, I'm very sorry. I have to reschedule this appointment, but I really want her to go because it's been a long time and I want her to get her height and her weight and have a chance to check in with the doctor on, you know, and the next appointment time I was given was for September.
No.
Yeah. Or maybe even October. Like it was 4 months away. And you're thinking to yourself, like, let's say now she's fully vaccinated, but let's say she wasn't. And the next appointment time I can't get before, people could get frustrated. Like you can't even get an appointment.
Yeah.
Said, if you have a child that's not fully vaccinated, or if you're not fully vaccinated, you can just go to a walk-in clinic. You can go and you can get this vaccine, the MMR vaccine. It's against measles, mumps, and rubella, and it's publicly funded. You don't have to pay for it. It doesn't have to be through your particular pediatrician. You can go and get this vaccine. And I encourage people who aren't fully vaccinated to make sure. And if you don't know your status, like if you have no idea, you can go get a blood test that will check your antibody levels to see if you have it against it. And then you know you're immune.
That's interesting. So even because I'm wondering as well, like we're talking a lot about the children, which makes sense in terms of the time lapse because of COVID. I'm assuming anyone my age has the measles vaccine.
Yeah. So you would think that most people got vaccinated or when they were, like, I would assume that I had it, but if you don't know, or if you're unsure, you can go. And I've had some patients come in and ask me to get their titers checked. So that means like, see if they still have antibodies. And that means they were vaccinated. Or if you're really worried about it, you just get an extra shot. Like there's no harm in getting a extra shot unless you're immunocompromised or pregnant. Then we don't want to give you any sort of live vaccine. But it's, you know, I think if you're around a lot, if you're in the healthcare field, if you're around a lot of children, you're traveling, international travel to areas where it's pandemic, then this is something to think about. If you aren't around a lot of kids and you stay at home and you're not really going, probably not something needs to be top of mind, but
Okay. Makes sense. Mostly just switching to a stock for a second. So speaking of travel, let me segue that way. So my husband and I, we've, you know, fallen in love with Italy and Rome in particular, and the food, we've talked about this, the food's so fabulous. You can eat pasta, you don't gain weight. You know, it's just so incredible. So because we've gone a couple of times and we're going again, I started to use Duolingo.
Oh, yes. Adam's addicted.
Is he?
Addicted.
Is he learning? Okay, so everybody, anybody who doesn't.
Stop, okay? Because first of all, he did it for Spanish because he was going to Mexico City or something. I don't know. Anyhow, and it's gamified. So it says you have to go on a roll. So he said, I have to do my Duolingo. I have to do my Duolingo. I'm like, or what? What's going to happen? You know? Are you more afraid of not meeting, getting your star or your run? Like you got on a, I don't know. You're doing it now. So you probably know.
Well, I've been doing it and then I stopped. So I'm not as gamified as Adam. But I have to say, I'm not a language person. Like I was always math and art and, it makes it very easy to learn a new language and it does make it fun and interesting. And so I'm just bringing it up because I noticed today they just reported their earnings. Yes. Okay. And, they had, huge results, great results. Subscribers were up 40% year over year. Daily average users. So DAU is a metric that we use in a lot of companies. That was up 50% year over year. And yes, and so I'm looking at the stock right now, and you know, the stock is up on a year-to-date basis 46%, 1 year 100%, 5 years 240%.
That's amazing.
So yeah, it trades at $477. But get this, the PE, so the multiple, price over earnings, 252 times.
That's crazy.
Crazy. To me,
see, that's where I look at something like Aritzia. Great. This, no.
Yeah.
But it's addictive and it's a game. And you have to get your streak, right? So that's what it's all about. It's about ways to get you hooked. So make sure that you're on it and you're on it all the time. Well, this is what I will say about Duolingo. Does it teach you a new language? No. Does it make you think you're learning a new language? Yes. But I make fun of animals. He was doing this Duolingo every night for Spanish, okay? Every night, I'd be like, what are you doing? And it's annoying, the noises it makes. It's like, I'm getting my streak. So we go out for dinner with a friend of mine who grew up in Chile, who speaks fluent Spanish. I said, Adam, talk to her. Okay? He couldn't say one thing. I'm like, how's that Duolingo going? The only way to learn a language is through, and I can't remember which book, I read that they talk about stats. I forget what they're called, people that know multiple languages. You have to immerse yourself in the culture and not be embarrassed to speak. Because the problem is when I go to Paris, like I speak some French, but if I'm in Paris, I'm embarrassed to speak French. And people feel embarrassed for you. So then if they hear your accents off, they switch to English for you, you know, so don't get a chance to practice. But you have to practice speaking. I think there's going to be more chance that you go on ChatGPT or you go on one of these AI things.
Right.
You have somebody speak to me and just speak to me in the language.
Right.
That's how you learn. You don't learn from the saying, this word is this. This word is this. But it's fun. Okay, that's my take on it.
Well, okay, the only thing I would say and the reason why I wanted to do it was because, you know, I almost felt rude when we'd be at the same restaurant or same hotel time after time. And they're so gracious to us and I can't even really communicate well enough, you know, the basics, the very basics.
So what I would say is way more effective. And I have no idea what I'm, understand that I actually have no idea what I'm saying. This is my thoughts on this would be if you had a robot, somebody like an AI say, let's have a conversation in Italian and start speaking as opposed to like, Grazie.
Yeah, grazie. Yep. Yeah.
What else is it going to teach you? This is
yeah.
I would like to order a pasta, you know?
It'd be interesting, though, to see if and how they're incorporating AI.
So maybe they will. Maybe that is how. Yeah. Maybe that's why it's rating so high, because maybe they will have these AI tourist people that you can talk to. Like once you do the words, that you can go up to that next level of actually.
Can I tell you, like knowing Adam well enough, and you and Adam together, I would have loved to have been there when you said talk to her. You probably wanted to like wring your neck.
Probably.
Right.
And it was like, talk, all your Spanish. I hear the Spanish every night for the past 3 months. Let's hear it. Oh my God. Yeah, he deserves a medal. Yeah.
So no Duolingo for you on either front, stocks or using it.
I'm curious though, because Snapchat, I'm curious to look at that. Snapchat. All the kids use Snapchat. And it also has the same gamified thing where you get streaks. So Rebecca will be like, I need my phone because I have a streak going with this person, which I guess is how many snaps you send back and forth.
Oh.
So
wait, I thought the kids were off Snapchat.
Not from what I see.
But they were, weren't they? Because
at one time they were saying, are people not using it as much? But all the kids are on Snapchat. All of them.
You're kidding me. Because I thought they all went off it to use TikTok. And now they're back on.
TikTok they use as not a communication. TikTok is more passive, just watching. But if they want to communicate with their friends, they're all on Snapchat. And then they can figure out where they can use it for location to figure out who's where. You can see where your friends are. So if you go to the mall, you can see, oh, this friend's here at the mall too. Or, you know.
Well, right now, so Snap is trading, so the ticker is SNAP, trades at $8.36. It's been down about 50% over the past year.
Okay.
So if you see a new trend in that, that could be interesting.
I see. That's what they're all using.
All right. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. Let's switch over to another item that you're looking at in healthcare.
So I was looking at the Hims and Hers.
Describe what Hims and Hers is again, because we did talk about it, but.
Yeah. So it's a publicly traded company that deals in healthcare, and their stock has been up a lot because they really boomed with the whole weight loss business about being able to sell compounded versions of Ozempic and Mounjaro and shipping it to patients interested in weight loss. So their business really took off. They also do, you know, prescriptions for, it's like online prescriptions that they ship to you. So for Viagra, I think it's big business for them. The weight loss drugs. I'm trying to think what else, maybe trying to probably acne medication, a bunch of medications that people want that aren't, they're not sick, but they want for their lifestyle.
Right.
And it was going to be a big problem. So all of a sudden, now that Novo Nordisk said that there's no more shortage of Ozempic, what that means is that these companies can no longer compound their own. It becomes illegal. Like you can't do that anymore. You're only allowed to compound a drug when there's a shortage or if they can't get the dose that the patient wants. So now there's Novo Nordisk is saying, we have Ozempic and Wegovy and any strength you want, and there's no more shortage. So all of a sudden, it was like, what's going to happen? And so Hims and Herms teamed up with Novo Nordisk, and they're now offering NovoCare, I think their pharmacy, all different strengths of Wegovy and Ozempic at a discounted price for their patients. So these are the ones that don't get it covered by their insurance plans. So I think I was reading that the average dose for the month to sign up with Hims and Hers, you get the prescription for the month. I think it's like $599 per month.
For the month. That's a lot of money.
That's big business. That's why there's stocks doing so well. Yeah.
Wow.
It is a lot of money, but people will pay it.
So I'm just looking at it.
That's why what's going to happen when, I mean, I think, yeah, look it up. I think it comes off patent in a couple of years. So when that happens, you can get generic and it won't be as expensive. But right now, a lot of people are hooked. You know, because they go off, so we go Viro Ozempic and they gain the weight back.
Do they, Melissa?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Because I would think that it kind of does change your behavior a bit, right? Like you're not, it does change behavior.
So it depends on the person. You're right. So all of a sudden, for some people, they realize, wow, okay, I was eating too much. I was snacking too much. This is now how I need to eat. And this is what works for my body. And it's learned and they're able to go off it and keep the weight. Yes. However, for some people who really struggle with food noise and mm-hmm. hunger and mm-hmm. appetite control, mm-hmm. when they go off it, they're just hungrier mm-hmm. or start thinking about and having the cravings come back. And mm-hmm. those people that I tend to see that gain the weight back.
Okay.
And that's why some people end up, that's why a lot of people, you know, a lot of people go off these drugs because they're expensive, but then a lot of people end up going back on them because they work.
They so work. Like,
you know, all, as I said this all along, all diets work if you stay on them.
Right.
The problem is staying on them.
Yeah.
You know, if this is what people have relied on, you know, there's a lot of people have dieting for years and years and years and years. They know what to do. They're not learning anything new. It's that this drug is finally, like when you listen to Oprah talking about it, it's finally allowed her to have control over that
mm-hmm.
That food noise, that, you know, that thing in her brain that's constantly telling her to eat more and, you know,
mm-hmm.
to seek out certain foods.
Right. And also too, you know, you become satiated, right? Like it's a pleasure.
You can't. Yeah.
If you eat, well, like when you eat, like it's a nice thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So just on the stock, so the stock ticker, so everybody remembers what a ticker is. It's the symbol for a company's stock is HIMS. So this is Hims and Hers Health. And the stock as, let's see here. On a year-to-date basis is up 57%. Now it really got the boost and the bump on the back of this news. So it had kind of cratered a bit a while ago, and but now is resuming. And again, their PE multiple, their valuation is at 74 times. So it's a company that's not making a lot of money right now, hence the higher valuation level. You have to grow into those earnings.
But how much did it jump in the past week on the news?
Let me do 1 month. 1 month is up 33%.
Yeah. Because I imagine it gone down first when mm-hmm. there was no more shortage. And
right.
Everybody's saying consumers are going to have less money, blah, blah, blah. And now,
now they made this partnership and it's keeping them afloat.
Yeah, and I hope that gives Novo's stock a bump too, because that had really taken a hit with Eli Lilly's news of their drug being the oral one looking better.
I have to take a look at that, the Novo. All right, speaking of, what else were we talking about? Where's my head today?
I know.
Where's my head?
It's because of this past week in Canada and with the election, and it's just been a lot.
I think it's been a lot. It's
been a lot to take in. People have had their moods affected. They're either very happy if you were hoping for the Liberals, or very upset if you were hoping for a change.
Yeah.
You know?
I can almost relate to, you know, what we kind of saw on Instagram with the Democrats and the Republicans. Remember, like you'd see people on Instagram that like chopped their hair off. Do you remember all that? Like, like it was that extreme for people.
Yeah. And I don't remember a Canadian election ever feeling that way before.
Correct. Yeah. I agree. You know, Mark, just with respect to the markets though, I think it's important. We kind of said this a little bit at the beginning, but there's been so much volatility, as we know, surrounding the tariffs. Mm-hmm. But we have had, 9 sessions of updates in the United States. The TSX also on track to be okay this week, like up 1% or so. But for those U.S. markets, up like over 8%. And it is because of there's hope that there's progress on the China trade with the United States. We'll see. It's amazing that with all the volatility and the concern in the market, that, you know, if we were down significantly, we're now down only 1% after all those major swings in the market.
Which is why you could have just, and it caused people so much turmoil and, stress and everything. And if you just kind of ignored it, we're back at, We're basically back at where we're now. That being said, on all those days where there's those big dips, it would have been great if you just kept buying those dips.
That's right. Which, but I agree, and I have been putting some money to work. At the same time, when we put some money to work, I put some money to work, the market still went down. So it's been a very difficult
Volatile.
time to know the right thing to do, but it has worked. But what I would say, though, stepping back, so the bullish case is what we just said. Maybe there's going to be some progress on the tariff front. But one thing to be cognizant of that does get talked about in the United States as well as in Canada is stagflation. So
Okay,
that
what
means,
happened?
so stagflation is very low growth with inflation. So if you have low growth in the economy, you're probably not going to get a raise, you're not going to get a bonus, and at the same, and maybe you'll lose your job because the companies can't afford to keep you on. So low growth causes all of that, and you pair that with inflation. So you're not making as much money, and
And
you've
yet,
got to.
it's getting expensive. I think that isn't that what they're worried about is going to happen in Canada?
Yeah, so that's a big thing right now. So because we just had, we essentially have had no growth, as I've said, for 10 years, and we do have inflation, and everything has gotten more expensive. And then with the tariffs adding on to that, that just causes more. So there's that aspect in Canada, and then also in the United States, they just reported their GDP, which did disappoint. Very low growth in the United States, and it was in combination with higher than expected inflation. So there is the potential they have stagflation in the United States as well as Canada.
Well,
So,
that doesn't sound like a very good kind of stag.
no, that's not a good stag. Not a good stag.
Oh, stag and not good.
No, and we should point out as well, like Amazon just reported their quarterly results, and the sales and profit were better than expected, but they are expecting a weaker outlook. And the CEO even said on their conference call that the tariffs represent a dark cloud. So, so we had Amazon report this week, and then also Apple, and I'm sure people saw that they are looking to move their production and increase their production in India. But at the same time too, there is still the issue with the tariffs on the products that are made in China. Most of those products, though, that are made in China go to the rest of the world and not the United States. That's how they're trying to split it up. But nonetheless, that stock is down by about 3% today. A lot of big money managers, I think, are on the view that of the view that it's dead money for a while until they get through this. One analyst calls it the tariff tornado for Apple. But at the same time, you have other analysts saying that, Apple, the fundamentals are still very strong, very much intact, and a very decent result, quarterly result in a tough environment. And one of the higher price targets I saw on it is $270. So again, different views. The analysts have different views. Hence, we all have different views. Hence, the market moves.
Yeah, I think analysts are a lot like weathermen.
Weatherman. Oh, no. Melissa.
It's gonna be cloudy, and then it's sunny, and then it's gonna be sunny. Like,
Yeah.
who knows? You don't. No one can predict the weather. It's so
Well,
hard to predict. Yeah, it
it's
looks
hard.
like you're getting a front coming, and then it's very hard to predict the weather. The same way but I believe these people study meteorology and everything, and they're trying and they're using all the best tools they have. Just some things are hard to predict.
They are. They are. But having been on that side, if you follow companies long enough and you know the company management, it's there are some really great analysts out there. I worked for a really great analyst, really great. He
Well,
could
I
get
think
the stocks right.
Meta is an interesting one. Did they report their earnings?
They did. I didn't follow it too closely, but yes.
So, because I follow Mark Zuckerberg on Instagram. And he posted this interesting video about Meta AI and the advances they're making with their Meta AI. And I thought it was interesting. And it just made me want to own even more Meta.
Interesting. Okay. Well, the market liked the results. It's up 10% over the past week.
There was some concern, I think, about a lawsuit coming up or something about their. I forget when, what was, I think something's coming up for them. I forget what I read, but I think it's strong. And I think he's strong as a leader. So.
And if you want to, then you can add to.
Yeah.
You can add to. Okay. What's on your docket?
I think that's it. I wanted to talk about the measles. I wanted to talk about the acne vaccine, the Hims and Hers. The only other thing that I thought that caught my attention was a study on, and I think I touched on this a couple weeks ago, that they now have evidence that, you know, we're seeing a real increase in early onset colorectal cancer, like in young people. And they now have found that a certain toxin released from bacteria, the E. coli bacteria, if you're exposed to it early in life, it can change the DNA of, I guess, the cancer cells, leading them to mutate and become, and that's why you're seeing some of these early cancers. So it's like, well, what causes this? So it's because this bacterial toxin changes the microbiome. And they think that maybe kids being more exposed to antibiotics at a young age, potentially what's changing that gut microbiome, making them less able to defend against this bacterial toxin. It was very, it was a confusing article. I mean, there was a lot of advanced science in it, so I don't want to, you know,
alarm anyone.
Alarm it or simplify down to that. But it just made me take pause and think, okay, so a lot of the time, you know, people think, oh, just give me an antibiotic, just give me an antibiotic, just give me an antibiotic. Or they think that for their kids. Oh, they probably have strep, probably have infection, just give me an antibiotic. And they get annoyed sometimes with the doctors, like, well, it's probably viral. And but there is a reason we don't want to overprescribe antibiotics when they're not needed. I mean, one, we don't want resistance, but obviously it can also change the gut microbiome that's protective. So, yeah. So
interesting.
Yeah, okay. It's not the type of thing, like, be scared, you know, of an antibiotic. You need it. Absolutely not. But it's just something to, you know, think about.
Speaking of younger people, lastly, let's just end on this because it's so cute and positive. Rebecca's going to be in a movie.
Yeah. Yeah. She got a part. Yeah. It's going to be a feature film. And she's playing the daughter. So it's just a small part. But yeah. So she has to be on set next week for 4 days.
That's so exciting.
Yeah. So it's really fun. So. She loves it.
It's amazing. So when you say feature film, what does that mean?
Full length film.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think it's so hard to keep track of all the lingo with this in the acting world. Like, you know, you have to wait for your call sheet and your, all the work. It's like we talk about whenever you learn a new discipline, you're learning a new language. Well, I haven't really learned the new language.
Of acting.
Acting yet. So I think feature film means a full length movie as opposed to like a short or but
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's exciting. And then I have another dance competition I have to go to on Saturday.
No.
Yes. April, May are the dance competition months.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's busy.
You're a real dance mom.
Yeah, I've embraced it. We had fun the last time. The last one in Niagara Falls was actually fun. Moms went out for dinner.
Yeah, I saw your picture.
Yeah, it's like a full,
it's full on culture.
Like, I had no idea how many dance studios there were also. Like, there's so many dance studios. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Big business.
You need to do something in business with the dance mom stuff.
Oh, it's massive. Yeah, it's true. Honestly, create the perfect comb. Create the
perfect. Right.
Wait, the something, and then it's like, yeah. All them. Well, that's like
the perfect barrette.
Yeah, that's like this rack and roll thing. They're like, oh, well, she's going to be in many dances. You need to get this rack and roll. This rack and roll is like a bag that has a clothing rack bar that comes up so they can hang up all their costumes. And then it's a collectible that you put the back. And all these girls are with the rack and roll. These rack and rolls are so expensive. It's insane. Okay. It's crazy. It's like a wardrobe on wheels. Like, I might pick the rack and roll on my next trip. Anyhow.
They make them for adults or just small children's clothes?
Well, you could hang up any type of, you know.
Actually, with the short dresses we wear. It's childlike.
Childlike, exactly. You could put some shirts or crop tops or bikinis.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Wait, you called it what you have a great name too. You said wardrobe on wheels. Just make your own. There you go.
Yeah, I should. Wardrobe on wheels.
Yeah. I like it. Okay. Add it to the list of add it to the to-do list of everything we do. All right, we'll leave it on that note.
Okay. See you later.
Talk to you later. Yeah. Bye.